Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, here we go. The 1973 podcast, episode 73. Is that like an anniversary? Does that mean anything? Hold weight? I don't know. What do you guys think? Does that hold any weight at all, Ed?
What do you mean?
We're all 50. One of us is taking Alzheimer's medicine.
Chris, you're already 50?
I feel like it, sure.
Okay. Big things, no Brad this week. We're recording on 4th of July weekend. It's the Phantom's birthday weekend, so we got to mention that right off the rip. It's just funny how the Phantom's birthday and episode 73, 1973, all kinds of, just kind of stuff going on. A lot of stuff. So, speaking of Brad, Fitch, we're going to pose a toy question to the panel. No email this week. We want to know from growing up, and this is the lead-in for what Brad brought to the table this week. What is the greatest toy from our generation? From the year 1973 till now, what is your pick for the greatest toy of all time? I'm going to start with the birthday boy. The man that is still holding on at 50 by the fingernails.
Very true.
Your pick better not be my pick because I'm going to be pissed. It better not be Fujimura.
I'm going to be throwing out like three things. I'm turning this into a list.
All right. So,
what, I'm going to say top three.
Okay. Voltron is safe just for you.
What's your pick?
I'm gonna have to go the LJN wrestlers. That was my thing. That I feel like I was already like a little bit older, that I had like a better imagination when I was playing with them. And you know, we talk about wrestling on here, and that was like full booking, whole nine yards. It wasn't like just playing random toys. It was a full operation when I was playing those things. So I'd have to go with those, but I got some solid honorable mentions, but I don't want to steal anybody else's thunder here, so I'm going with the LJN wrestlers.
We'll circle back to your honorable mentions, Ryan.
Okay.
Especially if nobody says it.
We're going to drop down a little bit. We're going to go to Chris. Chris, greatest toy growing up, what was it?
So my generation, which is a little more recent than all y'all, I'm going to say I wasn't the biggest toy guy, right? I was into the board games and whatnot, but because that was kind of my generation, the early 90s, board games were huge and video games, right? That's when video games started to explode, Sega Genesis and all that good stuff. But if we're going to get to plastic and actually having fun playing stuff in your hands, all I can remember back is being in the sixth grade, fifth and sixth grade, and I had every single WWE little wrestler with the little mini ring going on. And the best part is I bought the WWE championship belt. I had bought, and we're talking those foam cheap shitty belts, right, with plastic on it, the tag team championship and the intercontinental belt. Those were the three belts we had. The rest we made out of cardboard. But me and my friends would go every day to the schoolyard or to the church parking lot, and we would wrestle the fuck out of each other, Stone Cold Stone each other. I pedigreed some dude and one of my boys in dog shit one time, okay? You know what? Sometimes you got to do what you got to do to win a match. But I would recall just the whole wrestling. For me, that was like my best time of life, the best time remembering playing with toys, the championship belts and all the figurines. I really enjoyed it at that time. Definitely.
So Chris, you're talking about not the ones that Ryan's talking about. You're talking about the snapback ones, right? They each one had a different thing to it, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. So the ones that the Phantom's talking about are the ones that were bigger, the rubber ones, the little
big rubber ones. Yep.
Yep. Thomas, your pick.
I'm going to go away from the wrestling, and my personal, when I was a kid, was I'd have the Hot Wheels where I'd be bringing them wherever I went. If I'd go to my grandmother's house, I'd have the little box that had the little compartments for all your Hot Wheels and shit. But because we're looking for women viewership on here, in general, if you look at total population as Barbie's got to be up there, man. If you look at what's still popular.
You did have an older sister.
Yes, I did. Yes, I do. So I got to say, Barbie, I mean, if you look at money from back then to now, Barbie's got to be one of the more popular ones.
All right, Ed, you're on the clock. What do you got?
The Green Machine.
The Big Wheels Green Machine, right?
The Big Wheels Green
Machine. Let's go!
I mean, that thing was badass, man. You could fly down hills on that thing, spin that thing around, almost get hit by cars and keep on going. I mean, that really was probably one of my most favorite toys that you could possibly have back in the day, you know? You'd get around on it, you know? You'd fly around on that thing.
I'm going to have to get confirmation on this one from Ed, but if you ever were in my basement between the years of 1983 and 1990, there was an entire section of my basement dedicated to G.I. Joe.
That is correct.
When those G.I. Joes came out, I that was right in the wheelhouse of imagination right there. And I had the USS flag. I had a set from that they made from like MASH that I turned into like camps for the G.I. Joe figures. I had the Sky Striker hanging from the ceiling. I had the Cobra Rattler hanging from the other side. It was like nonstop. I've talked about this a bunch of times with different people that when those file cards came on the back of every guy, it like gave you the template for a blueprint of a backstory, who this person was, where they were from. And then you just, if you had a vivid imagination and you were an only child like myself, it was like game on. So I'm going to have to say for pound, my pick had the biggest impact on my toy collecting growing up was probably the G.I. Joe. The smaller ones, I was a big fan of collecting the vintage ones for a while, but nothing was like those. That was rainy day, winter day, down in the basement playing that. Didn't need anybody, have at it. That's my pick. And before we move on, I want to say that Brad was on location in Dallas, Texas. He had a chance to go to a vintage toy store, promote the podcast, and he took some video, and we promised that we would add it in. Ed, you want to do the lead-in with some Goon Guard before I show the...
Sure, this is Brad Spont at the toy store, brought to you by Goon Guard, goonguard.com. Check them out, best mouthpieces out there. Discount code 1973, and we're going to drop right in here right now.
So I just want just a little quick review of what you saw from the video. What'd you think, Ed? What'd you think of Brad's little video that he sent in?
Man, I you know, it's funny, working with Brad for, I think, almost 2 years, you know, I never realized how big Hot Wheels were as far as collectibles were. And then to see what they had at the store when he went into the store was just truly amazing. I thought that was just incredible to see that. And to see all those wrestling guys all in one spot, that was pretty huge too.
Chris, thoughts on Brad's trip?
Yeah, quite the store, right? So the first thing I thought of was Bowser's Basement. I don't know if any of you guys know that in Taunton. Pretty decent little place, but it's more tailored to around gaming and Bowser. But you get a lot of like old school stuff. They get, you know, a lot of older style toys. And there's also a store in the Dartmouth Mall that's pretty cool. But that store is amazing. The fucking ceiling tiles painted as comic books. Like, who thinks of that shit? You know, awesome, awesome video. Good job, Brad. Killed it on that one, buddy.
Go ahead, Ed.
I was gonna say before we leave this, I mean, I think we should at least go through the birthday boy's honorable mentions. I think, you know, I mean, since he's going to be, you know,
I'm hoping to get some tomorrow.
The vintage LJN, a big bucks now, Branko.
Yeah. Now it's out of the price range. Can't sling it. Can't sling it.
And those things are too heavy to hang with a thumbtack.
The resale value sucks on them with all the paint chipped off.
That's true. What was the name of the store? Dallas Vintage Toys?
Yes. And if you close your eyes while you're listening to him, it almost brings Robin Leach back, you know, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Franco, what was your honorable mentions on that list?
Well, you know, it was the G.I. Joes, which I knew you were going that route, so that was like my 1B. But you got to go back to the Star Wars. I think the Star Wars guys was the ones that started off all this. Anything after Star Wars, I was like a collector. If I had to have all the Star Wars guys. I had to have all the G.I. Joes. I had to have all the wrestlers. And it was a whole different mindset of wanting toys. And it was like, I didn't want one of them. I wanted all of them. And that all started through all the Star Wars movies from when we were kids. Like I said, carried into the G.I. Joes, carried into Stein lineups, and you name it, anything from there, it all started with the Star Wars.
Hey, I just want to give you the platform to tell a funny story that we've talked about for years in a personal setting, but this is a great platform to talk about Zaz.
And Hyde and Toys?
The Sunday Flyer. Running for toys, hiding them.
You go into a store, they have all the guys. And like I just said, you didn't want one, you needed them all. And those fucking things were hard to find. So you'd have to decide. My mother was usually pretty good. So I was getting more than one, but she wasn't buying them all. I'd fucking go in all around that store. Roadmap. I'd had them in the curtains. I had them behind the puzzles that nobody wanted to play with. The models. You name it. There was wrestlers hidden in that store. More chance than not, I came back and they were still there, but they had some damn good employees because they found those fuckers.
So what you're saying is you show up, they got the whole series. So it's usually like six. Let's just
they
say
got them
the
all.
Series. Right.
They got them all.
You can't buy them all. Let's just say. So Corporal Kirshner's going behind the models and Mickey Steamboat's coming home.
Guaranteed.
Yep.
There's probably still one hidden somewhere in Star Store because I hit it and then I found it in Zaz later on that week.
So if you're going to UMass Dartmouth at that Star Store, it's probably there.
It's probably there. hit the peanut store with your grandmother and then swing over to the Star Store and see if you can find it.
All right, so let's move on, and speaking of wrestling, we're going to talk. This is a lot going on. We're recording on Friday night so that we can watch Money in the Bank, and NXT's got a pay-per-view on Sunday night, Heat Wave. So quick rundown of the wrestling stuff. Chris, you've been watching any wrestling lately?
Can't say I have, my man.
Okay. The thing that I took away this week was an awesome crossroads by Cody Rhodes onto a security guard. Great sell. Bounced the guy right out of the ring. It was really good. If you didn't see it, it's definitely worth going and watching. The return of Dr. Britt Baker. She had a face-off with, I'll call her Sasha Banks, because I don't know if it's Mercedes Monet, whatever it is. Tom, you want to bring us up to speed on all things Dr. Britt?
Well, she's a stroke, I guess. She looked fine at coming back, so we'll see how
she looks fine. All right,
I'll have to second that. That's
my man, Chris.
Yeah, yeah. She looked really healthy. Let's just say, I don't know if the Phantom has any insights on the 1-on-1 with Sasha Banks. What do you think, Ryan?
I just think that it's kind of cool that she comes back or. They bring her back with this big fanfare, but you can't fool the fans. So they bring her in as a face, and the fans are already booing her. Like, I guess it came out that she has creative control. So now she's already got all these belts. So the people already figured it out, and they'll turn on you in a second. And now Britt's back, and they're all Team Brit, so it should set up pretty well. And I'll give AEW credit; they sniffed it out, and they're already turning their heel. They're not even going to mess around with it, so they're good on them for that.
Professor, what do you think about them giving her creative control? What do you think?
Oh, I think it's ridiculous, but at this point, that's the only way they're going to get some of these guys or girls from WWE. is to give them creative control. And they, and granted, there's nobody there that can like try to, I guess, tell Tony Khan not to and show them what happened. Just show them the WCW documentary and you see what happens, but they all want to work. So then nobody's going to say, tell them not to do it that way.
In Tony's defense too, the women division kind of stinks. So, I mean, you're bringing her in, you're putting the belt on her anyway. So whether she wants them to put the belt on her or you want them, like, she's going to end up with the belt no matter what. I guess that's the price you got to kind of pay to bring in the stars, like you said, Tom.
Chris, did you, I know the last couple of episodes you weren't able to make it, but did you finish watching the Who Killed WCW?
I did not. Yeah, this is my third episode. I missed three episodes in a row, guys, you know. Life's been a little crazy and whatnot with plans and summertime is here. But no, I didn't even get to finish a lot of that.
Yeah, we finished it last week, and I was going to throw it to you, and I wanted your opinion after it's all said and done. I want you to tell me who you think killed WCW.
Really killed WCW?
Yeah, right. Yeah. When we get around to that.
Definitely.
I'm curious to see what kind of build they do with this weekend in Toronto. They're kind of setting the whole thing around. Maybe there'll be some surprises. Maybe something will go down. Maybe somebody will show up. But I'm kind of intrigued with watching NXT just to see if Ethan Page, they give him the belt on Sunday because he's in the main event. So it'd be kind of cool to kind of go in a different direction to kind of show that there's not a you know, a thing to keep back guys that come in from other companies where, you know, Vince was notorious for doing that when, you know, guys jump ship. He kind of made an example out of them where they had to, you know, lose for a while and then, you know, kind of give them a run after that. But it'll be interesting to see, and we'll stay tuned with that, and we'll cover it when Brad comes back next week. I'm sure he'll be all up to date on all things wrestling.
You see, WWE Tonight, I don't know if you saw any SmackDown before we came on, but Triple H announced Trish Stratus. He brought her out, and she's going to be the host of the whole pay-per-view, I guess.
Oh, so we'll, okay.
I don't know if she'll get involved at all, if at all, in this thing or not. But.
And you want to, Tommy, you want to mention that thing you were talking about Dijak getting the axe for being a mole?
Yeah, they fired Donovan Dijak. Well, they didn't fire him. They did not renew his contract. And he's been saying for like the last 3 weeks that they weren't. He knew that they had already told him that they weren't resigning him. Well, now it's coming out that they may have fired him or let him go because he was the leak to the dirt sheets with all of the spots and who was coming, who was going. So if that's true, maybe that'll stop some of them coming out. I don't think you're never going to stop everything, because you're always going to have somebody that's there that's like a mid-carder or lower that thinks they should be higher and pissed off, and that this is their payback and revenge is to leak stuff.
Yeah, I just one more wrestling tidbit before we go. There's a toy store downtown. I don't know if Chris knows it, that Kojo's Toy World. Danhausen's coming again on July 30th.
Right, so next door to my barber now. They just moved right next door to New Bedford Barber Company. That's where I go every couple of weeks with Ryan and get our haircuts. Store looks great. The outside, they got the windows all painted. Looks nice now.
Yeah, did you see the ad for it, Chris, that he was coming?
I did. Yeah, they put it. They actually, the ad's on the barbershop when I walked in. I seen it actually when I walked in last Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. Really. The thing that's cool about if you ever get a chance to meet him is he's in character, so he does the whole gimmick. It's really good. So
they've got Kojo's World. Is that what it's called, Andy? He's got Tommy Dreamer coming.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, that's I saw it the other day on. I saw an ad on Facebook.
Oh, all right. The thing that I always say about that stuff is when it's local, try to support it, because then, it'll just, rather than driving to Providence or Boston, it's close to home. So if you can, you know, support it, that way they bring in more guys. Might not be a cup of tea, but something, kind of do. So, let's get ready to talk some sports and go into some hot dog eating contests with your shitty picks.
Before I do that, let's just mention what you showed us online a little while ago about Kevin Sullivan. I guess he's not very good. And they started a GoFundMe page. He's in pretty rough shape. I don't know if you clicked on the GoFundMe thing or not, but I guess he had an accident sometime in May and he's in really bad shape. He's ended up, I guess he's got insurance, but it's been so long that it's not covering anything anymore. So looking for money. And you talk about the wrestling world banding together. If you look at some of the names that have donated, I mean, as much as people get on Jim Cornette and his wife are the top donor right now. I'm not going to say what he donated, but it was in the thousands. Cody Rhodes has donated. Dutch Mantel, who I think started the GoFundMe page, him and Kevin Sullivan's wife. But I guess prayers got to go out to Kevin Sullivan because he's in pretty rough shape.
Yeah, and I kind of hope that he would already have been in the Hall of Fame for WWE. They have a bad habit of putting guys in after they pass, and it's just not the same when you get a family member up there accepting for him rather than said person. And after some of the people that they've let go in the Hall of Fame, he should have went in a long time ago, even as a creative mind that he had. Like I said, that gimmick that he did, not the Taskmaster one, but the one in the early 80s, that was a game changer for me watching wrestling at the time. So, Tom, time to do your thing. Let's talk some shitty picks.
Tom's Shitty Picks is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, located at 244 Brock Street South in Whitby, Ontario. Everything they brew is in-house, including their beers, seltzers, vodka sodas, and their hard iced teas. So if you're in the Whitby area, check them out and tell them the 1973 podcast sent you. Now, my pick this week, Mr. from 2 days ago, I got to say I'm a little disappointed with our masshole, Jeffrey Esper. He talked a good game, said he was going to dominate, and he was going to eat 50. He said if he could eat 51, he'd win. Well, he ate 52 and he lost by 5. So somebody's got to step up their game, do a little more training, I guess. But I got beat by a guy from Chicago. So that pick, and in honor of him, I'm pretty sure he's probably shitting quite a bit right now. So my shitty pick of the week. There you go. But this coming
week, is there any truth to the rumor that his training got screwed up because he was eating lobster rolls with Chris?
That's a possibility.
They are some damn good lobster rolls.
I'm going lobster rolls over hot dogs every time. Just saying.
Not even Coney Island.
They fault you on that one, Ryan.
Whew. Nope, not going over there, Andy. I don't want no secret sauce on the dogs.
I will say the best hot dogs I ever had. I think I was in the 7th grade. Andy, your dad took us to that place in Fall
River. Don't go over there in Fall River. No.
Nope. George's dirty dogs in the dirty rib.
Yeah, dude. Dogs, he opens up the tin and all the fucking flies fly out of there. I'm like, I'm good. I'll have a bag of Doritos. Thank you.
George's king of hot dogs. Fall River, Mass. Fire it up. Let's go. Go ahead, Thomas.
My shitty pick for this week, I'm going back to baseball. I'm going to go with Logan Gilbert, starting pitcher for the Seattle Mariners. He's got 2 starts next week against San Diego and the Angels. He's averaging 6 Ks a game in his last 5 starts, and he's only given up 4 runs twice in 15 starts. Now, his biggest problem this year is run support. The Seattle offense is terrible. So as well as he's doing stat-wise, he's got 5 wins. He probably should have 9 or 10. But the San Diego offense is kind of beat up right now, and the Angels are the Angels. So I think he's going to come away with 2 wins and probably 15 to 20 points total. So that's my pick.
All right. So let's talk some hockey. Let's talk a little bit of free agent frenzy. Let's talk about a little bit of disappointment. Let's talk about the man that has the only Bruins jersey on this podcast. Chris, what the hell were your Bruins doing during these last couple of weeks?
Nothing but good stuff, okay? We finally found a first-line centerman, which is, you know, something that we've needed for a long time. Although Lindholm has had a couple of shitty seasons, he had 40 goals 2 years ago, okay? So let's see what he can do, right? We're going to need him to step up. And with Pastrnak and Zacha, I mean, I can't see that being a problem there. So I think we're going to have a stellar first line. And you got to love Zadorov, that defenseman. Yeah, he's probably going to be paired on our third defensive pairing. But I'll take that all day because we were already scary defensively as far as the Bruins go. I think we were very strong defensively, so that's just going to add to it. And
so, quick question: how are you scary when you lose to the Panthers?
Everybody lost to the Panthers.
Thank you. Good answer, sir. Good answer from a
wise man. I was not asking for a man.
No, but listen, my true winner from this whole free agency, man, I want to go with the Predators. They did some serious moves with. I know Stamkos up there in age, but Marjessault, amazing sign. Brad Slays, whatever. I know it's not
Skidmore. Brady Shea.
Yeah, Shea. Okay. And then they locked up Yaros. I think Saros. I think he is one of the better goaltenders in the league. I just think the Predators are weak defensively. But they made some huge moves. They are my number one pick for NHL free agency anyway.
Thomas, you wanted to talk about goaltending. Bruins goaltending.
I hated the trade, I'll be honest with you. They did. To me, it made no sense for what they got back in return. I was going to wait to see what they got with the pick, and I didn't like the pick. But that draft was so thin after like the 14th pick. It was like all crapshoot. So to me, I think they should have tried to get a little bit more. But they gave them away for nothing. And you can't really say they were doing it to free up money, because Korpisalo is only making, I think, $1 million less than Ullmark is after they say, they had to pay $1 million of it. I think Otto was going to pay $1 million of his salary. So it's still $1 or $2 million less. So, I mean, to me, just didn't make any sense.
Phantom, thoughts on the whole draft this year? We'll go to your area of expertise.
You said that was pretty good. Yeah. I mean, I was kind of hoping that my Hawks would get that number one pick. Macklin Celebrini, he looks like he's a stud. He watched a lot of his games for BU, so he's the real deal. So that they made it all right. I was hoping that the Blackhawks were going to take that Russian kid, slip to 5, so the Habs got him. But I'm not disappointed with Lashevnov. He's supposed to be really, really good defenseman. So you kind of you don't want the meat and potatoes. You want the dessert. So we'll have to wait and see over time to see how it ends up working out. Then I guess like the big thing of the draft was that Yzerman kid that was like before when they were doing like the pre-rankings and all that, was like number 2. And more recently, I guess he's like a one-way player, so he just scores goals. Like, who doesn't need that? Well, he ended up Blackhawks, for me, they picked again at 19. He's still there, and they didn't take him after he slipped all that way, and the Islanders ended up getting him at 20. So going forward, it'll always be a guy that I kind of will pay attention to, but I thought draft was good. I thought they did the draft in that Vegas
Sphere.
That dome, what's it called?
Sphere.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, that was fantastic. Usually, if you watch the award show, it's fucking garbage. They hit a home run with that draft. They should do it there every year. It was actually a good show to watch as far as just being a fan and watching the show. So really, that's pretty good.
I think this is the last year they're actually doing it with everyone in person. I think starting next year.
Yeah, yeah. They said they were going to start doing it over the phone or whatever.
Yep.
I don't know. I think not as bad as like the NFL draft where they show all the guys that are about to get drafted and they all got cell phones. And it's like they show them 5 minutes before they announce the pick and they're on the telephone. So you already know they're going to get picked. So it's usually the NFL shits on the NHL, how they go about things. But I prefer to watch the NHL draft, to be honest, over the NFL draft.
I have a question for Ed. Did he scour the state of Florida for all of his Florida Panthers Stanley Cup merchandise?
Man, let me tell you, it's very thin. It's very thin here in the old panhandle. It's surprising. Didn't see very much. Saw a couple license plates. I didn't see any flags. Didn't see anything like that. I mean, you know, Miami is, you know, a good 12 hours away. So, you know, from where I am. So, I mean, there is that. There is, you know, there's the Lightning right in between that, you know, right down I-75. So there is that. But, you know, I was very surprised to see it on how, like, little the state of Florida kind of got behind it. So, you know, the parade looked like they, you know, a lot of people showed up for the parade and whatnot, that type of thing. So, you know, I can definitely say that the local community definitely supported their team. but I didn't really see, you know, a lot of the whole state, you know. I mean, look, it's the South. There's other things to do here, you know.
There is? So let's move on from the hockey stuff. And now that we have Chris on, I want to talk cooking with Chris. Before we get to this week's episode, I want to sing your praises and say what a fantastic, fantastic job Chris is doing with these little segments. I think it's great. And look at that quality apron. That is a quality apron. Chris, thoughts on your cooking segment? What have you gotten any feedback at all from it?
I mean, I haven't seen nothing yet, but you know what? Everybody loves food, okay? Food brings family to the table. It brings happiness. It brings everybody something good to eat when you're shit-faced drunk and you want some good food, right? So there's nothing better than a good meal in front of you at the end of the day. There's nothing good at the center of a table with a big family get-together than meal. A good food. I've been cooking since I was 10 years old, I want to say. My mom used to literally be like, hey, it's your day to cook today, so let me know what you want me to take out. Or she would tell me like the day before. And she used to just take out chicken or linguica out of the freezer and be like, here you go. Have fun. Have at it. And I used to cook them probably the shittiest shit. And they used to just sit there and be like, oh, this was good. But she would help me. Be like, you know, next time you should add this or do that. And like, I've literally been cooking since I was 10 years old. It's always something I love to do. I take pride in it. And food, like I said, is just something to me that I love doing. I worked in a restaurant for 13 years. I was a manager for about 10, Riccati's, which just about everybody knows that restaurant. And I just, you know, I love the fast paced, going crazy, slaying the stovetops, the sweat dripping down your face. Some of it falls into the food. It's a little extra salt. You guys love it too and don't even know it. But cooking is the key to life, man. And I love it. And I'm happy that I'm doing this. It's a cool thing to do. I love it.
Before we go to Ed and Tom, I want to ask you a question. Which Riccati's were you a manager at?
Okay. So I started off in New Bedford, obviously, because Fahaven wasn't even open. When Fahaven opened, I went there. And I actually worked both for about 2 years and then settled back into just the New Bedford one. But I did do both at one point.
So from the years of probably 1989 through 1997, me and the Phantom were fixtures in that place at least once a week. And we would never eat in the restaurant. We'd always eat in the takeout pot.
Mm-hmm.
At one time, that was, if you were on a budget, IC Cola and a pizza, there's nothing was beating that.
So when I started there,
Torpedo.
When I started there, a cheese pizza was $4.67 and the Torpedo was $3.98. So there you go. You can't go wrong with a big ass meatball sub for under $4 and a cheese pizza for under $5.
So I believe when it was a fixture of our rotation, I want to say a cheese pizza was $3 and IC Cola. That was the way to go. And we would go there so much, so much. Every Friday night, maybe, before we headed out. That was definitely a staple. Ed, Tom, thoughts on cooking with Chris?
Well, first and foremost, I loved it, Chris. I mean, and I know I sent a text to the group chat about Chris. I said it was on the pasta recipe. Was there anything left in the kitchen that you didn't throw in the pasta? I was like, bro, it was a compliment. I mean, you like were tossing stuff in there. I thought like more stuff was going to come out of the cabinets or something. But no, it looked great, man. I know that Andy, Ryan, and Tom, they were surprised that there was quite a few years ago they came over and they're like, man, this clam chowder is really good. And they're like, you know, they said to my mom, like, oh, this is a great job. And she's like, yeah, Eddie cooked it, actually. There is certainly a love of cooking, Chris. And so, I mean, kudos to you, man. It looked delicious and looking forward to seeing the lobster roll episode as well.
So it'll be episode 3 of Cooking with Chris this week. I'm not going to say what it is, but Tom, I'm going to let you do the lead in so I can drop it in.
All righty. Cooking with Chris is brought to you by the book Loving Elliot, a fitting tribute to undying love written by our own Andy Clark. It's available on Amazon.com. Elliot was the oldest special needs Jack Russell Terrier when he passed away at the age of 21.
So boom, we'll drop that in right around, sprinkle it in like some paprika. All right, so Tom, we're going to go back to back with some ad breaks, and we're going to drop in. We got an album of the week from Purchase Street. You mind dropping that in?
Sure. All right. This week's album of the week is brought to you by Purchase Street Records, located at 53 Pope's Island, Unit 2, New Bedford, Mass., or online at PurchaseStRecords.com. They also have a Facebook page. Purchase Street Records is Southern New England's largest independent record store.
All right, so let's wind this episode down. It's kind of a light one. Got stuff to do. So let's do some shout-outs. So, Chris, you have the floor. You missed a couple episodes, so have at it.
Yeah, I did. I'm glad to be back. Knocked the rust off a little bit, definitely. I'm glad that you guys gave me a little segment to do on my own. So my shout out is going to go to myself, I guess, today. Let's hope that people enjoy the cooking as much. I'll pat myself on the back. Let's hope that the people enjoy my cooking as much as I do. My family loves my cooking. Everybody that comes over loves my cooking, says I'm a great host. When I see people enjoying and smiling, like, oh, stuff in their face, I'm just happy inside. It feels so damn good. I love filling people's bellies. I bring food to work. This week's Cooking with Chris, I literally brought ribs and thrown on the grill at work, which you guys just seen in that video. Everybody loved it. And I just have this sense of joy when people have a full belly and enjoy the food. So it's cool, man.
All right, Professor, you're on the clock.
Two things. First of all, I want to give a shout out to my niece, Taylor. She's been under the weather and she's going to end up going in for surgery. They're making her wait until the middle of August. So feel better, kid. And second, I want to wish the Phantom a happy birthday. Y'all think I'm still celebrating America, but I'm actually celebrating the Phantom.
You got to follow that one up there, birthday boy. Go ahead.
I'm going to have to shout out all the boys and all the birthday love I've been getting a good week's worth. Probably get a little bit more tomorrow, but I appreciate it. I guess as we get older, every birthday that you get is a gift, and I just want to say I appreciate all you guys and see you next year.
All right, Ed, you gotta follow that one.
Ryan, happy birthday, and it's just good to see everybody here tonight, and we're kind of flying a missing man formation for Brad, and thanks, boys, I look forward to this every week, so it's good to see everybody.
Yeah, can't say it any better than that. I say it every week. It's like just the old hat, getting together with everybody, and it's not like it was, but we try to make it like it was. So we used to get together every 4th of July for I think it was over 20 years, and that was a thing. And then, life gets in the way and things happen and expenses and things get too expensive to do, and you got more leftovers than people showing up, and it's all, it's all good. But over the next couple of weeks, it's summertime, we're going to try to get some different people on. We're working on some stuff with Ed, working on getting some familiar faces back for episode 75, and we'll see you again next week. So later on, people,
buy a damn apron.